Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. Good morning, Valley Grove. It's great to be back with you on April the 19th here for Sunday morning virtual worship. Man, I tell you what, when we started doing these virtual worship services, I would never have guessed we would be doing them today. I thought we would already be back worshiping together, but it looks like it's going to be a little bit longer, definitely next week and probably even into May. So thank you so much for being around and sticking around and being a part of virtual worship with us. While we give everybody just a few minutes to get back, to get on and to get in their place and get everything situated, I do want to give you a couple reminders or a couple thoughts for the week. As I said just a minute ago, we will definitely be worshiping virtually next week as well. And potentially into May. Just depends on how everything works with our state and leaders, the governor, and local leaders. So we'll keep you posted on that, but we will definitely be back together next Sunday as well. Also, next week, or this week, I should say, April the 22nd is Administrative Professionals Day. And let me tell you, Casey Shaw has been a wonderful addition to our team at Valley Grove. So I know you can't thank him personally, or at least face to face, but shoot him a message, give him a call, send him an email, drop a card by his house, ride by their house, honk two or three times, whatever. Send him a gift. Who knows? But I'm telling you what, we could not have done a lot of the things in the last 6 months that we've been able to do without Casey. So please make sure you tell him thank you for the great job that he's doing. Also, coming up real soon on May the 9th is Pastor Jacob and Miss Alyssa's wedding. Now, I know that probably won't take place in the way they hoped for and in the way we hoped for. But as I talked to Pastor Jacob and asked him about that, he said, we're definitely getting married one way or the other. I like that. So pray for them. I would say pray for Alyssa, but you probably need to pray for Jacob a little bit more. No, but really, just pray for them. And I know they would appreciate it as they look forward to getting married May 9th, one way or another. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. And like we do every Sunday, we're going to start with our memory verse. And we're still reading our memory verse that deals with the resurrection of Jesus. We want to continue that through the month of April. And what a great verse it is to remember all that we talked about last Sunday. So let's read it together. All right, Luke 24:5b through 6a. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. And that's Luke 24:5b through 6a. All right, so we're jumping into a new story today, into a new book in the Bible, the book of Ruth. And I am super excited about going through the book of Ruth with you today. So before we begin this series, I want to kind of give you how we're going to talk about the book of Ruth and how we're going to walk through it together. We're going to attempt, and I say attempt because that's the plan right now. That may change, but this is the plan right now. We're going to go through one chapter or equivalent to one chapter over the next 4 weeks. There's four chapters in Ruth, and so we're going to look at one chapter a week. Today, we're going to look at chapter 1. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to kind of look at chapter 2 and 3, but we're going to focus 1 week on one main character and the next week on another main character. And then on Mother's Day, we're going to finish up with chapter 4, and we may do a concluding one the next week, kind of a wrap-up message. I'm not sure about that one yet, but we'll definitely be in Ruth for the next 4 weeks. If you haven't read the book of Ruth, we're going to read part of it this morning, but I would encourage you to go back and read through chapter 1 and go ahead and read through chapter 2 and 3 and chapter 4. You can read it in one sitting. It's a great story. It's a narrative story, and it's a really good one. It'll do your heart good, and it will inspire you as well. So that's how we're going to look at the book of Ruth. Also, don't forget that each week in between the messages, so in the middle of the week, and I'll try to make sure I post ahead of time what day that's going to be on. This past week was a little bit later than I anticipated, but that's the way life is right now, right? So anyway, remember to check the Facebook page, and because I'll be doing some live videos, at least one a week, that'll highlight a cultural issue or a word or phrase in the book of Ruth that will help us understand a little bit more about what's going on as we read along and as we study together and we have virtual worship together and we talk about the book of Ruth. So this past week was on the Judges cycle. And so if you don't know what that is and you haven't listened to that video, after you're done watching this sermon, go back and watch that video on the Judges cycle because it will put put the story of Ruth in its time frame and its setting, and that's crucial to just kind of understand what's going on in the broader world around Ruth and Naomi and Boaz and all that. And so we'll look at some other ideas in the future. I think next week we'll probably talk about, or this upcoming week, we'll probably talk about the kinsman redeemer and kind of what that is, because that's a huge thread that weaves its way through the story. So we'll talk about some other things that are cultural issues that we don't necessarily know about that seem weird or odd to us. And so we'll talk about those in those midweek videos. So make sure you tune into those, and we'll try to do a better job this week, maybe than we did over on during Easter, about telling you what time those videos are going to be coming out. So that's how we're going to kind of look at the book of Ruth. That's kind of what we're going to be doing in the middle of the Sundays. And so I hope you'll tune in. You did a great job commenting and sharing and liking and talking about the Easter videos. And so we saw that as an opportunity for us to continue to connect with one another and maybe talk about some content that is crucial but just can't make it into the Sunday sermons. So that's kind of our plan for right now. All right, so with no further ado, let's begin talking about the book of Ruth. So the reason we did the study on the Judges cycle, and I won't rehash all of that, is because the book of Ruth takes place in the time of the Judges, which is in the time period of the book of Judges. That's why we talked about the Judges cycle. Well, this particular story of Ruth highlights one family's story within that broader context or time frame of what's going on in the history of Israel. And so the story of Ruth has basically three main characters: Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. And over the next few weeks, we'll talk about all of those. Today, we're going to start out by talking about Naomi, and then in a little bit, we'll talk about Ruth. Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, they live in Bethlehem, and there is a great famine in Israel, a devastating famine. It lasts for many years. And so Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they pack up and they go to Moab, which was a neighbor of Israel. I believe it would be in modern-day Jordan. They pack up, they go to Moab because Moab has food, has grain and all of that, which was a main staple for bread and other things in their culture, but Israel didn't. And so they pack up and they go to Moab and they live there. Well, in the first few verses of chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 kind of give us all this setting. I'm just kind of highlighting it. So when they get there, the text seems to tell us that Elimelech, Naomi's husband, dies fairly quickly after they get there. Devastating, but at least Naomi has her two sons. Well, as time progresses, her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, get married. Mahlon marries Ruth, and Chilion marries another lady named Orpah. All right. And after the text tells us that they live there for about 10 years. At the end of that 10-year period, at some point, both Naomi's sons have passed away. So both Mahlon and Chilion have died. So she's lost her husband and her two sons. So at this point, it is Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. Right? I can't even begin to imagine the just all of the emotions and the feelings and the anger and the bitterness and the all of those. I just can't even imagine all of that for this family group to have all had all of that tragic loss so tightly bound together. And whether we like it or not, in kind of a modern America, the reality is that in ancient Israel, in this time period of the Judges, and even in Moab as well, these ladies were on the edge of existence. They were teetering, literally teetering between life and death. There was no one to take care of them, no one to provide, and so they were literally on the edge of existence. So in chapter 1, verses 6 and following, I'm going to read that section. Naomi has a conversation with Ruth and Orpah, so I'm going to read that really quickly. You can follow along at home if you want to. This is chapter 1, verses 6 through 18. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. What that means is Israel, the famine has been lifted, the 10-year famine has been lifted, and God is again blessing Israel, and she's heard there's food in her once home of Bethlehem. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughter-in-laws, and they went on their way to return into the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her daughter-in-laws, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Verse 10, and they said to her, "No, we will return to you, to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands?" Verse 12, "Turn back, my daughters. Go on your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death departs me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Even in reading those verses now, and I've read over them a couple times in the last few days, I still get this deep emotional just when I read those verses. I can't even begin to imagine the pain and suffering and tragedy that all three of these women were going through. And now Naomi, realizing that with her going back to Israel, back to her homeland, that it would be even more difficult for her two daughter-in-laws, who are foreigners, who grew up in a pagan culture, for them to be brought back into Israel would be even more difficult than it would be for her. And so she, trying to be kind and generous to them, says, "Hey, look, this is on me. I'm going to go back to my homeland. You seriously, you're young." If I can paraphrase here, "You're young. You can get married again. You need to go back to your mom and dad's house. You need to live with them. And I pray the Lord will grant you every blessing that he can. But you don't need to come with me." And Orpah takes her advice and she walks off and goes back to her mom's house, her dad's house, goes back to live with her family to presumably start all over again after living with Naomi and her husband for maybe close to a decade. Ruth, on the other hand, doesn't do that. She clings to Naomi. She holds on tight to her and basically says, "There is nothing that's going to separate me and you. We're in this together, and wherever you go, that's where I'm going." And it's this interaction right here in chapter 1 where Ruth clings to Naomi and says, hey, I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to be with you. Where you go, I go. Your people will be my people. All of this. It's in this interaction right here that I believe even in the midst of this atrocious tragedy that there are two bright, shining spots that I want to highlight this morning. And one comes from the person of Ruth, and one comes from the person of Naomi. So I'm going to give you two ideas this morning through each of these people. So we'll talk about Ruth first, and then we'll talk about Naomi second. When I read this passage about Ruth in the midst of this tragic situation, I realized that Ruth, even in the midst of tragedy, is someone we should be like. So if you're taking notes this morning, I guess point number one is Ruth is someone we should be like or emulate or mimic our life after. Let me give you a couple reasons why, or a few reasons why Ruth should be someone we should emulate in a time of tragedy. Number one, Ruth left her family and her friends. Think about this. Ruth didn't grow up in Israel. She didn't move to Moab. That's where she grew up. She lived there. So all of her friends, all of her childhood friends, all the people she grew up with, her family, it doesn't tell us if she had brothers and sisters, but she obviously had a mom and a dad, potentially had brothers and sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, maybe even at one point. And she leaves all of them to go with Naomi, which is mind-blowing to me. Not only that, but she leaves everything she knew. She leaves her culture. Ruth grew up in a completely different cultural worldview than Naomi did. And she is giving all of that up to go to a foreign land she knows nothing about. Think about that. That'd be like me and you moving across the world with our mother-in-law or our father-in-law, where we potentially didn't speak the language, or we didn't know the customs, we didn't know the culture. All that we knew about it was through one person. And they may have done a really good job to teach us about all that, but that's not like living in that culture. That's exactly what Ruth did. She surrendered the easy route. She surrendered the – so not only did she leave her friends and family and leave her culture, but she surrendered the easy route. The easy thing for Ruth to do was say, Naomi, I love you. Thank you for all you've done for me, but I'm going to go back to my mother and dad's house. She didn't do that. She said, no, me and you are in this together. I'm going to stick with you no matter what. Where you go, I'm going. And Ruth surrenders the easy route. She could have did the easy button, but she didn't. She took the hard route. Not only that, she put Naomi's needs in front of her own. Think about this. Ruth, based off of what Naomi says, you get the idea that Ruth is still a younger woman, a younger lady. So she still can get remarried and has the prospect of getting married again. That's why Naomi tells her, hey, you need to stay with your parents. See, Ruth had real needs of her own. Like, she had real needs. She obviously doesn't have any kids yet because the story doesn't tell us she has any kids. There's no mention of Naomi's grandkids in the story yet. Right? And so Ruth has a real need of her own. She needs to find a husband. She needs to have kids so that she can be, her needs can be met and she can be taken care of. But she says, you know what? I'd rather be in a foreign country in poverty and in rags with Naomi than in riches and prosperity in Moab without her. And so Ruth puts Naomi's needs above her own, even though both of them are in the tragedy together, right? And lastly, and maybe most importantly, Ruth completely transforms her religious worldview. See, Ruth grew up in Moab, which did not worship Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even though they were distantly related, and even though they were near each other, they did not worship the same group of people, or the same God, I should say. Moab worshiped gods with a little g, and Israel worshiped Yahweh, the one true God. The ancestral leader god of Moab was named Chemosh. There's not a lot we know about Chemosh, but there is one story in the Old Testament that's pretty stark and pretty tragic in its own right. It's in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 27. The king of Moab is in battle against Israel, and he's losing. And he is fleeing, and at one point he climbs up on a city wall, and he literally offers his son as a sacrifice, a burnt offering to the god of Chemosh to invoke him to fight on their behalf. Now, was that going on when Ruth grew up in Moab? I don't know the answer to that. But here's what I do know. That's not something that Yahweh approved of or wanted. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Naomi, that's not how he rolled. It's not how he rolls still today, right? And so Ruth grew up in a completely different religious culture. She grew up in a pluralistic culture where there were many gods who were all narcissistic and capricious, and you had to do things to earn their favor and earn their blessing, right? And it was all a works-based and hope you did it good enough so that they would bless your crops and send rain and all of this kind of stuff. But in the moment we just read, Ruth says, your God will be my God. And in that moment, Ruth completely changes over her religious worldview and begins at that moment to follow the one true God. And we see that played out over the rest of the story, right? And so Ruth, in all of this, if I could sum all of what Ruth does in one word, I think the word that the guys over at the Bible Project used to describe Ruth is the best one, and it's loyal. Loyal. The word loyal means giving up or showing, giving or showing firm and consistent support and allegiance to a person or an institution. That is exactly what Ruth did, and she will continue to do throughout the rest of the story. She's loyal. She's loyal. And so in a time of tragedy, we should be like Ruth. We should be loyal. We should be self-sacrificing. We should be looking at the needs of others, not just our own. We should be putting others first, not always taking the easy route, but sometimes realizing we need to take the hard route. And so Ruth is someone we should be like. We should emulate. We should mimic. Be loyal, right? But Naomi, let's talk about her for a minute. This during this series, I've done something a little different. I've asked Holly to read along through Ruth with me. Since the main characters are women and the story involves centers on them, I wanted her take on it, just to get something different, somebody else's viewpoint who may not be, you know, the same as mine. And as we were talking, she offered a lot of good insight, but I want to highlight one this morning, and it's a question she asked. Here's the question. She said, why would Ruth want to stay with Naomi? I don't know if I've ever thought about that. Have you? Maybe you have. I haven't. And if you have, kudos to you, because it's a great question to ask. Why would Ruth stay with Naomi? Right. What I mean by that is what qualities did Naomi possess or have that would cause Ruth to even begin to want to stay with her? Because see, here's the reality. If Naomi was a vindictive, mean, hateful, spiteful, ugly mother-in-law, I don't think Ruth wants to stay with her, would you? I don't want to be around those people. I don't know of anybody who does. So what makes Ruth think Naomi is worth hanging around with in the midst of this tragedy when she could have just as easily gone back to live with her mother and her father? That's what Orpah did. Orpah said, thank you, I love you, but I'm going to go back and live with my mom and dad, my kinfolk. So why didn't Ruth do that? Listen to me. There must be something in Naomi's person that caused Ruth to want to stay with her, right? Because they could have lived together for up to 10 years. And listen to me, after 10 years of living near and around and with and in close proximity, because Naomi and Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion and Ruth and Orpah, they probably all lived right there together. Maybe in the same housing structure, right? There's evidence of that in ancient Israel up through the time of Jesus even. And so they may have actually lived right there close together. So after upwards of 10 years, you get to know somebody pretty well. Look, Holly and I, this June 4th, will be married 15 years. And I can tell you after 15 years, she's seen the best and worst in me, and I've seen the best and worst in her. And I've seen everything in between. We know how we handle things. We know how we work. Sometimes we know we need to let each other have their space, and sometimes we need to lean in, and sometimes after a while we'll come back, and all of these situations. And I can tell you personally, there's no person that I'd rather do life with than Holly, after having learned how we work and all of that. Like, you know, those first few years are rough, but they're rough for everybody, you know. We had to sort things out. We brought our own unique perspective. And now after 15 years, we figured out how that works together. So think about that. Like, Ruth had lived with Naomi for maybe up to 10 years. So in my mind, there's something that Ruth saw in Naomi. It clicked in Ruth's mind and said, hey, I want to stay around with her. What was it? The story doesn't tell us, but I can tell you what one thing it was. It was Naomi's character. And we'll see that played out through the rest of the book. But Naomi was a person of character. Now listen, was she bitter? Was she angry? Was she upset? Did she assume or feel like the Lord was heavy against her or had dealt harshly with her? Absolutely. That's okay. In times like that, it's absolutely okay to have those feelings. But what I'm trying to get across is even in the midst of those feelings, Naomi was still a person of character. Right? So you have Ruth and you have Naomi. Both of them are going through this awful tragedy. Both of them are having a very difficult time. They're dealing with it. They're trying to work through it. But yet both of them are highlights of qualities that we need to possess as well. Ruth shows us, highlights loyalty, and Naomi, in my opinion, highlights character. And both of those things are things that we need to possess in our own life. So the question we need to ask this morning is, who are we, or what are we, in the midst of our own personal tragedies? Right? Are we like Ruth? Are we like Naomi? Because see, Naomi was somebody Ruth wanted to be around, even in the midst of tragedy. Is that who you and me are? I don't know. But that's a question we need to ask. Because see, that's the application from this story, I believe, this morning. Is when we're going through tragedy, or when we're just going through life, are we going to be like Naomi and Ruth? Loyal and people of character. Because here's what I've realized, and I haven't lived long, but I've lived enough to realize that we either are going to have those two characteristics or we're not. So what's the opposite side of being loyal and being a person of character? Well, in my opinion, it's like one of my old pastor buddies, John Randall, says, we can either be those people, loyal and character, or be black holes and leeches. You ever thought about it, what a black hole does? I looked that up this morning. A black hole in our galaxy literally sucks all light and life into it, and it never lets it go. It literally disintegrates light and particles into their smallest bits, and it keeps breaking them down and breaking them down and breaking them down. And isn't that the way we are sometimes? Man, we are like black holes in life. We walk around moping, and we literally suck the energy out of the room. We suck the energy out of the conversation. We suck the life out of other people. See, we're not loyal. We're like black holes. Ruth, because she was loyal, was giving and self-sacrificing and helping. And if we're not doing that, then we're literally sucking the life out of people, out of a situation, out of a church, out of a Sunday school classroom, out of a small group, out of a lunch meeting. We're literally sucking the life out of it. Don't be a black hole. Be like Ruth. Be loyal. And when we're not like Naomi, when we're not people of character, we're like leeches. We're like leeches. What do leeches do? They literally, they suck the blood out of other people. They live off of other organisms because they can't carry their own self. And when we're not a person of character, it's like we're riding the coattails of everybody else. We're just like leeches, just hanging on. We're not doing anything. We're not really living life to the fullest. We're just hanging around, hoping we get enough just to get by. Don't be like that. Don't be a leech. Don't be just getting by, like hanging around, hanging on everybody, using everybody else's resources to make it through your life. Be a person of character like Naomi. Was she angry and upset about losing her husband and her two kids? Absolutely. But even in the midst of that, she was a person of character, and we'll see that played out through the rest of the story. So who are you like today? That's a question I want to leave you with. Are you more like Ruth and Naomi, loyal and people of character? Or are you going to be like a leech? You're going to be like a black hole who lives off everybody else, sucks the life out of everybody? That's a decision you've got to make on your own. So that's your challenge this week. That's your challenge this week. Don't be a leech. Don't be a black hole. Be a Ruth and be a Naomi. Be loyal, selfless, and a person of character. All right, pray with me real quick. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this amazing opportunity to worship together virtually. And Lord, I pray that you would use it in a mighty and awesome way to challenge and change us as we grow closer to you. Lord, may we be truly like Ruth and Naomi this week. May we be people of character, selfless, and loyal. Lord, may all of our leech-like and black hole-like ways, may we put them behind us. May we leave them alone. And as we follow you, may we be more like Ruth and Naomi. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.